weighs heavy on his guilty mind. It's Republic Broadcasting Network. It's 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, and that would make it midnight Eastern Standard Time. In the United States, of course. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone. We are live. It is the 30th, right? Of April 2011, coming into May. This is your program in the zone. Host Lieutenant Eric Schein. We're supposed to have Chris Hinckley on and James Corbett. Trying to raise them both now. And we will see. I was looking forward to talking to James to see how he's doing and what's been going on. He had just left Japan prior to, I think it was a week, 10 days, if that, prior to Fukushima happening, to go back to Canada, his Das Homeland. He is a Canadian, and he had gone back for a family emergency. And he's been back, he's been doing his program, his interviews, but he hasn't had a chance to come back on our program and help and co-host. He was supposed to come back tonight. We will try to raise him in the break. Not sure if Chris Hinckley is here. Chris, I was supposed to do his program last night, and I'm not sure what happened. So it is debatable whether he will be here tonight. Not sure. But I think after the break, we'll have a... I think James is here, actually, now. And he might be trying to call in. So we got the break coming up. I'll throw out the call-in number, 800-313-9443. So that after the break, if we don't have James, or if we do have James, people want to call in, bottom of the hour, they can. And hopefully Chris will be here as well, but we'll find out shortly, and we'll be back right after this brief commercial break. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone, host Lieutenant Eric Schein. As a graduate of the United States Merchant Marine Academy, naval officer and officer in the United States Merchant Marine, who has been held in a military tribunal by the Coast Guard for the last 8 years as a civilian. We'll be right back.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, generally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property.
Hey, how's it going?
Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation.
Hey, Dan, are you there?
If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now.
The
economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit FreeToProsper.com right now.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you. And I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. And use it with your child, then send me your feedback.
Doing your
I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever for free.
So, and you can throw
you don't have
to
struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day. Because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Right, yeah, no, I did have a couple of people on in the early days of the crisis. Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, Loren Moran, if you've ever heard of her.
I have, but I'm not putting a lot of stuff in what she's said so far.
Yeah, she is kind of, I don't want to say enough far, but,
I mean, she hear you.
I mean, and see, that's why I'm like, you know, BYU professor Stephen Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who came out about 9/11 and all that stuff. Do you know who he is and what he's notable for?
I don't really.
He actually had done cold fusion experiments that he fudged. Yeah. We're back. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program In the Zone. Host Lieutenant Eric Schein and my co-host James Corbett is back, and we've got him on the air, and I'm very happy to hear from him and have him back on the show. And basically the entire show we're just going to turn it over to James, and I may throw in a few questions or you know, a redirect here and there. Or ask for some clarity, but I'm just going to let James tell us what's been going on. Last time James was on this program, he was just leaving or just left for Canada and had to go on hiatus for a few weeks or a month. And that was, I believe it was 7 to 10 days, maybe less, before Fukushima happened. And then Fukushima happened, and then you can fill in the listeners on what's been going on in your life and what sent you to Canada, if you want, you know, to touch on that. If not, that's fine. And then everything that's been going on in Japan and your life and family back in Japan and all that. Welcome to
Great.
The show.
Well, thank you for having me on once again. And it is a pleasure to be back and talking to people out there. So just in case they don't know who I am or forget who I am James Corbett at CorbettReport.com. And I can't remember exactly when the last time I was on was. It must have been probably the beginning of March, I imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I went back to Canada on the 12th of March. To go to attend my mother's funeral. She passed away just at the beginning of March, so I was back in Canada. And so I left on the 12th, and that was the day after the earthquake here. So it was a good thing that for this time I was not flying out through Tokyo. I flew out to Korea and then from Korea to Canada, so I missed all of the hassles and plane cancellations and all of that because of the earthquake. But then, of course, while I was back in Canada, I was there for a week. And during that time, obviously, Fukushima started to erupt and explode in numerous cases. So while that was going on, I was completely out of the loop. I wasn't even checking the news. I was completely, you know, detached from the news cycle. So I had no idea what was going on, really. I just heard bits and pieces here and there. But then, of course, I, you know, come back to Japan to discover what's really going on. And it's just crazy. It was just unimaginable. And so so when I got back, I was just, you know, consuming and devouring newspapers and websites and trying to get as much information as I could. And it was interesting for me to step back into the situation with this sort of nuclear catastrophe going on the other side of the island. And no one here really seems that concerned, at least on the outside. In fact, no one really even talked to me about it or struck up a conversation. There was no one at work talking about it. It's kind of eerie, the disconnect going on between what's being reported in the media, I think, no doubt back in North America, and yeah, even the media here, and versus what people are talking about on a daily basis.
That great white nuclear elephant in the living room that everybody wants to walk around and nobody will talk about?
That seems to be it at this point. And even now, still, I mean, just no one seems to really be making a big deal about it in any way. For example, just a few weeks ago, we had a situation where the winds had changed. I mean, the prevailing winds have been predominantly blowing out to the east and to the north from Fukushima, so avoiding mainland Japan or most of Japan.
Right, but, a lot of parts of Hawaii and California.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But so there was a wind change a few weeks ago where it was bringing some of the fallout back towards Japan, and it was coming over Japan and crossing over and into Korea. And Koreans actually were going crazy about it, and they actually shut down a bunch of elementary schools in Korea because it was going to rain on those days, and they didn't want any of the rain fallout to, you know, be contaminating their kids, right? So the schools in Korea were actually closed for those days, and at the exact same time as the exact same, you know, fallout debris cloud was coming out over exactly where I am on the western side of the main island.
This is South or North Korea or both?
That was in South Korea. They were okay. Closing
that's
the
what,
elementary
That's
schools.
What I figured, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about maybe North Korea. Who knows?
Right. Nobody knows probably about North Korea. And it's like,
right.
Mums
but,
the
but at the exact same time, I mean, the exact same cloud was passing over us first, and the rain, it was raining, and it was just a regular day, just another day at school. You know, the kids were out playing in the rain, and there's just no sense of whatsoever of any precautions to be taken or anything. So that's really weird for my part, because to watch what the way that this is being covered in the international media versus what people here are thinking about it is kind of bizarre, but perhaps not surprising, because that's kind of the Japanese way. You just kind of take whatever comes, because that's the way it is.
You bring up an important point on something that someone else had hit. There was a caller on another program I was listening to, and they were talking about how people outside the United States are looking at what's going on in the United States, Europe, and more, and they're flabbergasted. They just don't understand, like, even as to general strike or labor issues in Wisconsin and more. Because it's like Europe has become what the United States used to be in the 50s, 60s, into the 70s, and now the United States is what maybe Germany was back in the 20s and 30s. From going to Canada, going back home, and also being in Japan, not just what's going on with the nuclear, but everything else in the world, like, you know, Libya, I think that's popped up since we last talked, and Gaddafi. What's everyone else's take on it outside of the United States?
Well, again, a good question. Libya popped up while I was in Canada, but that wasn't really a main topic of conversation, so I don't know what people were really thinking on that. But back here in Japan, again, not a lot of people are talking about Libya sort of on a day-to-day basis, so I don't know what the consensus is over here. It's difficult to even say on a sort of general scale, because Japan, of course, is nominally a pacifist country and is very much against war in all of its forms, but it's just such a part of the American military umbrella over here in East Asia that I don't think it will question any military action that's led by America or NATO. So I don't think there's much of a fuss over here about Libya.
Well, Japan hasn't been sending, I mean, as even Canada, has Canada and or Japan been sending troops to the Middle East at all lately?
Well, Japan certainly hasn't. That would be against their constitution. But Canada, actually, that's a good question. I don't know the extent of Canadian deployment in Libya or in that conflict. I don't know if there's anything going on, if they're contributing or not. That's a shameful admission. I mean, I don't even know my own country, but it's true.
No, I just I don't know. I think you understand that there is a blackout here in the United States, which, you know, it sounds to some degree that, and I don't know if it's just that people are so overwhelmed they just don't care anymore. It's just that there's so much going on. There's so much to suck up and absorb. Life is short, and they're like, you know, oh, well.
Yeah. No, I think that's actually part of the overall strategy of what's going on. I mean, it's kind of, if we hit them with a million things, they can't possibly respond to all of them. I mean, it's almost like sensory overload going on right now. And there are just so many different fronts on which people who are concerned about basic liberties and freedoms would have to be fighting. I mean, it's almost overwhelming to even think about how to combat all the different things that are going on right now. Well, but on the Japanese situation, I just wanted to mention a couple of stories that came out just yesterday that I think are just absolutely key to understanding sort of what's really going on. And one of them was the radiation advisor to the prime minister here, Naoto Kan, resigned yesterday. He basically quit, saying that the government was just was playing politics with the situation and was taking measures that weren't appropriate and was kind of ignoring his advice about what to do and about information that they were giving out to the public and stuff. So he actually resigned in disgust, which is pretty unusual for an academic advisor to the prime minister here in Japan. And then also yesterday there was a report about the head of the Meteorological Society of Japan was getting into trouble for advising all of the members of the society not to release the information about the forecasts for the spread of radiation from the Fukushima plant. Yeah, they're doing these on a daily basis. They're coming out with these reports and these forecasts, but they're advising not to give it to the public because the public might panic.
Isn't that what Christina Todd Whitman did as head of the EPA here in the United States involving 9/11 in the World Trade Center in New York?
Sounds pretty similar to me, yeah. And of course it came out years later that, yeah, the White House had pressured the EPA to say everything's okay, go back to work, and we now know many people have died and are dying from that. But of course, you know, Whitman's not going to get in trouble. The White House isn't going to get in trouble. The system's just going to continue. And it's kind of the same thing happening here in Japan. It looks remarkably similar as they're just upping the safe radiation levels arbitrarily. Every time they discover a new high level, they just say, oh, guess what? We're going to raise levels by another 7 million times or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That was mind-blowing to see.
It is. I mean, it's just, it's so on its face ridiculous. No one can take it seriously, but no one's up in arms about it. No one's getting angry.
Well, you hear the music. We'll be right back. I'll throw out the call-in number. We may look to take some calls, but I want to hear more from James when we come back. 800-313-9443. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the Zone. We're speaking with James Corbett of The Corbett Report, and you can find him online, thecorbettreport.com. We'll be right back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you, and John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States, and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
At least I got some Muse Uprising on the way home on the radio, which made my night. We're speaking with James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com. James, you were saying a couple things and wanted to touch on a couple things. If you could as well, tell us about some of the people that you've interviewed in the last month or so, and what, you know, I don't know if you remember the interview numbers offhand, so people go look them up on your website.
Right. Actually, I do have it up on my computer here, so I can just read it off for them. Yeah, I've interviewed several people related specifically to the Japanese thing that's going on, and one of the early ones I did was with a professor named Najmuddin Mishkati of which university? I want to say it's not UCLA. It's University of Southern California. And he's a professor of engineering. He specializes in risk management, especially for things like nuclear disasters. So he's written about some of the previous Japanese nuclear disasters and Chernobyl and things like that. And so I had an interesting conversation with him. That was interview 301. I've also talked to people like Helen Caldicott, who has made some headlines recently about some pretty big pronouncements about how serious this really is, as opposed to how serious they're telling us it is. And she's been quite a famous nuclear, anti-nuclear campaigner for the last couple of decades. So she's written several books about it. So I had her up on interview 306. That was an interesting conversation.
What I'm curious about real quick is whether anybody's done an interview on the invasion of the body snatchers, of what alien species has taken over our leaders, where we've got, and I'm joking, of course, but I mean, what is going on is so absurd. I think they just had a fracking accident out here in, I want to say it was in Virginia, or could have been Virginia, but a major spill of the fracking liquid, or liquid that comes from the fracking process. But if we go back to even what happened with British Petroleum in the Gulf and what just happened with Fukushima, I mean, forget about anything, the sun or any kind of natural disasters. And yes, you could say it was an earthquake, and yes, it was a tsunami and yada yada. But the nuclear fallout is, and the what's happened with the plants is the real issue. I mean, we're polluting our ecosystem, our environment on a grand scale, even in just the last year.
Absolutely. And have you heard about the recent attempts to, I guess, refortify the sarcophagus at Chernobyl?
Oh, yeah, that it's, yeah, leaking, and that they've got all kinds of problems, and it's exactly. for want of a better word, saying it's a dead zone. And
yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, I've talked to people who live there, who are from Poland and in the region when this happened, and they were younger, and they're, you know, talking to them about it is just, it's unbelievable. And I mean, I think I've seen, and this is shortly after it, where they had all kinds of genetic mutations from plants and animals and even human beings from the region that, you know, it went out pretty far from where the nuclear site is at.
Yeah,
it had a pretty good radius.
Well, exactly. I mean, the way it was first detected was not because the Soviet Union talked about it. Of course, they didn't at the time. But it was a couple of days later. I think some nuclear workers in Sweden were going into work and were trying to go through the, because every day when they went into their work at their nuclear power plant, they had to go through radiation detectors, and and they were coming up as they were highly radioactive, and they were thinking, well, what's going on? Is there something wrong with the scanners, or what's happening? And then they finally realized, oh, it's not coming from us, it's coming from somewhere else. And then they finally found out, oh, it was coming from Chernobyl. But the Chernobyl disaster was a different disaster in a lot of ways, but it's instructive, I think, about the ways that governments either open up or refuse to open up in the face of such a calamity. And the Soviet Union, I mean, really did start to open up. I mean, that was sort of a kickstart for glasnost, and I guess people just were fed up and they were not going to take it. So eventually the government kind of had to open up with what was happening there.
But look at where we're at here in the United States, which is supposedly, or is supposed to be, one of the most open countries in the world. You know, we've got the Freedom of Information Act and yada, yada. But, I mean, even in my own situation, I'm thinking of filing a Freedom of Information Act request with Assange and WikiLeaks so that I can find out or get a hold of any of the documents relating to my own situation of emails to and from and back and forth within the Coast Guard and Department of Homeland Security and FBI and everybody else who's been involved. Which is, my biggest question with that is, with WikiLeaks, am I going to have to pay as much as I would for a Freedom of Information Act request with the United States government?
Or are they even going to?
I know.
Yeah, right, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing that strikes me about... Well, exactly, but that's the thing that strikes me about WikiLeaks. I mean, I understand people get excited about it and think it's a wonderful thing, but if it was so wonderful, I think they would put the documents out. I don't think they'd hang on to them and give out a few here and there to the New York Times and allow them to redact them and all of that nonsense and rigmarole. If they were serious, they'd publish it.
They'd dump it all.
Yeah, which, you know, I guess they did with their insurance file, but they're not going to give that out unless he gets put in jail or whatever, supposedly.
Right, so it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, so what's the point? I mean, it is kind of a game.
Circuits, yeah, it's very suspect. Be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
Republic Broadcasting Network. I know that's loud, man. I don't think that's... Is it loud for you too, James? Or
it sounds a bit loud.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just my speakers or something, but anyways, we're back. It's Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone, hosted by Eric Schein, with my co-host, who's been on personal leave. I'm just kidding, because he doesn't get paid, neither do I. Hiatus, taking care of personal stuff back home in Canada, and then he's just, James has had a lot of stuff going on, so I'm glad he's back, appreciate him coming back, and I want to let him talk a little bit more about what's been going on, and you were mentioning some of the people that you had interviewed. And
right. And I've been interviewing some people also related to some local aid and charity organizations, because I know a lot of people were contacting me, less so now, but still some people contacting me about who they can donate money to or who they can donate to in this case, because they know that there are serious...
Yeah, it's trustworthy, right?
Right, exactly, because they know there are serious problems with things like Doctors Without Borders, with the Rockefellers on the chair, on the board, and International Red Cross, which of course has been caught, you know, pocketing and pilfering money from 9/11 fund and Katrina fund and all sorts.
They're all under the Pirates Without Borders flag, aren't they?
I don't know what that means, but yeah, it sounds about right.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it sounds about right, well, doesn't it?
No, because even like I mentioned to you in the break about Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush and the international fund that they set up for the victims of Bandi Atcha, and that a lot of these international funds, there's no oversight. There's no accounting. There's no one saying, where did all the money go? And we've seen that not only with funds and accounts and trusts or whatever that have been set up, like people by like Bill Clinton and you know, George H.W. Bush, but even ones set up by our own government for like the 9/11 families, the trust fund there, not one family was allowed to get into court. I think Ellen Mariani was the last person who stood, and they tried to have her declared incompetent, just like they've done with me, with what's been going on with me and the Coast Guard and Homeland Security and all that, to where the insurance companies, AIG and others, and many of these are international, not just, you know, American, they're Italian and German and Spanish and American and English. They're being run by these enormous corporate families who have no, I don't want to say they're amoral, because that would be being too nice, but they know the practices that date back several thousand years or more, to where, like in Italy, when it was a republic or kingdom back and forth, they actually used to insure the soldiers and steal the death benefits, just like Walmart has been nabbed for doing, and was reported by Michael Moore in his movie Capitalism, A Love Story. So the people's concerns about this are legitimate, and I ask that if you are going to donate to what's going on in Japan and people there, that you spend a little bit of time and a little bit of homework and do some research on who you're donating to, and if there's any way that you can make sure that it's hard assets like food or blankets or anything else, or even going over there and, you know, giving physical support, aid, that it's done in such a manner to ensure that it gets into the hands of the people that need it.
Right. And on the 9/11 trust fund note, you might want to look into Beverly Eckert, who was one of the 9/11 widows, and she was a vocal opponent of the 9/11 trust fund and how they were trying to buy out the silence of the 9/11 widows and everyone. And she met with Obama, and then a few days later in 2009 died in a plane crash. So that's that was an interesting story.
Well, and you know who else is tied with that, right?
Who?
Kenneth Feinberg.
Yeah.
The Pazar. He's not only involved with Agent Orange, Vietnam, the World Trade Center, asbestos, the 9/11 Trust Fund family for the 9/11 families and others, the BP incident in the Gulf, Monsanto, 3M, British Petroleum, of course. He was the Pazar for Obama, so he's involved with Goldman Sachs and all these others. I'm trying to think, there's a couple other notable things, but Kenneth Feinberg is also involved in my situation indirectly. He trained Lieutenant Commander Walter J. Brzezinski, a Coast Guard officer who's the judge, quote unquote, in my proceedings, where the Coast Guard is the complainant, et cetera, et cetera. But he helped on the 9/11 trust fund cases and bit his teeth there and was mentored by Kenneth Feinberg.
Yes, it all goes back to the same little crew, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that people don't realize, like even Alex Kaczynski, who's also involved in my own situation, he's a Ninth Circuit justice who has his fingerprints and signature on documents of mine where I tried to get relief in the Ninth Circuit and had identified him as a conflicted individual, that he had conflicts of interest and that he shouldn't be allowed to have anything to do with my case, because he was actually teaching people how to break the Whistleblower Protection Act when he was chief counsel for the Office of Special Counsel and was censured by 43 senators, booted from his position. I knew who and what he was. He took over the case, pulled it off calendar. It wasn't even before him, ruled on it, and sent me back to the executive branch for further torture. So, you know, Congress and the Senate did their job in censuring him, booting him from his position, but we as the American people, who have the ultimate oversight, and are, you know, the thing about us and the difference, you see what's going on with Kate and William and the monarchy, and they're really trying to sell this whole thing with that a constitutional monarchy is more cost-effective than, you know, a constitutional republic, that the Queen and the royal family is the repository of the knowledge of the government, and that if, you know, they have a question of, well, what happened in last time we were in Libya and fighting a war there, and they go to the Queen and say, oh, well, you know, and she can tell them exactly what happened and what they did and who was involved and why they did it, and, you know, basically tell them the whole history on it. Well, we don't have a queen here in the United States. We don't have a royal family. It's the people who are supposed to be the memory of the state, and it lies or rests with us to make sure that people like Alex Kaczynski, when they're censured by and the Congress and Senate do their job, that they don't end up somewhere else, like at the top of the Ninth Circuit, to where they can do far worse than what they did as chief counsel of the Office of Special Counsel.
And that's exactly why freedom of speech and the free press was secured in the Bill of Rights, because that is absolutely the cornerstone to all of this. If there's no free press and free speech, then there's no possibility of recording the true history, and what gets recorded is what the winners want people to remember about what happened.
Well, and even access to, I mean, you would think that the New York Times and other papers, the Washington Post and more, even the Wall Street Journal, would make the archives of their own papers open access to the public. You know, that we should, rather than, if they want to privatize the Library of Congress, then it should be something that should be open access for free, that is somehow funded by industry, to where, just like, you know, how news was a, I'm trying to think of the term that they use. It was actually, you know, not a cost leader. I'm trying to think of the term, but basically we're putting the news on ABC, CBS, NBC was expensive. And it cost the networks an enormous amount of money, but that was one of the things that they were obligated to do for being afforded the airwaves and the, you know, transmission for not only TV, but radio and more.
Right, yeah, exactly. Because, of course, the airwaves are public property. So.
Right.
Exactly, right.
But, I mean, and, you know, all we have to do really is look back to Italy. And how it started out as the you know, city states and evolved eventually into a you know, state nations, and then the princely states, and then the kingly states and more, back and forth between a kingdom and a republic, because the concept of a republic is not new. I mean, Socrates and Plato, you know, it's a concept that dates at least before the time of Christ, back 2,500 years. The book written by Plato, The Republic, is 2,500 years old.
That's right, exactly. I mean, it's something that, a concept that people have been thinking about for a long, 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 long time. And unfortunately, it's one that people still have problems grasping the significance of, even today. And it's still important to look back at history at times, like when the Roman Republic fell and became the Roman Empire. I mean, it's important to understand how that happened.
But you also understand that, and I don't know if it's become more apparent to you. I mean, you know how I am about it, about the whole issue of the royals and kings and queens and guillotines and the United States being a republic and the Commonwealth and Britain and what's now become the EU and more. I believe that, and have been saying this for some time, and I think people will look back 10 years from now and realize, you know, I don't want to say how prophetic I have been, but that at some point, going back to Thomas Paine and others, that there is a movement on, and there is a lot of people behind it in trying to set up this worldwide system of United Kingdoms. And I believe, you know, George Herbert Walker Bush, when he talks about the New World Order, or mentioned it in a couple different speeches, that that is exactly what he's talking about, that this New World Order is a worldwide reinvigoration or recreation of this worldwide system of United Kingdoms. And that's one reason why the United States is going through what it's going through, because you've got a lot of people not only within the United States who want to see it taken down as a republic and set up as a kingdom, but a lot of people outside the United States as well.
Indeed. Well, coincidentally enough, this is exactly what I'm dealing with on my podcast this week, so people can tune into that and they'll find out more. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about republics and the need, or perhaps the possible need, to set up a second republic.
Well, you talked about that in our interview 2 days ago, right, with the individual in Argentina right now.
That's right. Yeah, Adrian Salbucci down in Argentina, and he's part of secondrepublicproject.com, and they're they're trying to start an international movement, basically, to get founders in each country, in each city, in each state, in each province to start their own sort of action committee. Because, of course, a Second Republic concept is going to be different, implemented differently in each place. I mean, every place has its own history and its own government and own ways of doing things. But overall, the idea is going to be roughly the same.
Well, but certain things, like, in my mind, certain things should be defined clearly to where, like, and you've heard me bring this up before, but people like Congressman Duncan Hunter Sr. should not be able to pass his seat, whether the guy's elected or not, but his son in the same family should not be able to take over his congressional seat that he held for 20 or 30 years.
Because then it's just, nepotism.
Exactly. It's royalism. I mean, on a, you know, a grand scale, because now that very same congressional seat has been within the same family for going on 30, could be 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that's at the congressional level. So what's going on above that, or even in the federal judiciary and in other places of import, to where you've got a lot of these positions in the government that are being ceded or passed over to members of these large corporate families, to where they're not only dancing within the government, but within the large national, if not multinational, corporations.
Indeed.
I want to go to Leo.
Oligarchy has a distinctly foul taste to it, and I think more people are becoming aware of that, so that's a hopeful thing.
Good. Let's go to Leo real quick in Massachusetts. Leo.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Corbett, I just wanted to remind you that when you use the term oligarchy, you need a little bit of an extra syllable in there. Because we're in the different oil patches, it's really the oligarchy.
Well, I think that's only a part of it, because banking gets into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chemicals.
I mean, oligarchy, I think, sometimes puts another twist on it also.
Yeah, well, I agree. The oil industry has been one of the banes of human civilization for the last 100, 150 years. And in fact, I've got a video coming out this week specifically on that subject. And there's no doubt that there's so many alternative energies and things that are being suppressed, because oil is a wonderful monopoly cartel capitalism type thing where a small group of people can control this resource and really control the course of human civilization itself, because we rely on it to such an extent.
The reason I called was I lobbied today, I think right around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or somewhere in Saturday evening, there was a slot where the host or the owner of the program just does reruns, and you could move into a slot earlier in the day today if you're looking for it. It's a two-hour slot. Two-hour slot.
For James?
For either one of you, both of you, whatever, you know, whoever wants it, there's a slot open on Saturday afternoon,
Do you know whose slot it is?
Talk to the board operator, they'll tell you.
Okay.
But I'm just saying to get your program on there, you know, hopefully, because you'd be a little bit earlier.
Well, if anything, James would probably take over my slot here because of his time constraints in Japan.
Yeah, the time difference makes it difficult. But yeah, so this time is good for me. But yeah, if there's an earlier time for you, Eric,
Anyway, could you drag Ann Coulter over there and stick her in Fukushima?
I wish. Yeah, no, I don't know. I know that people have put up the money for her speaking engagement and offered to fly her first class to Tokyo to take her out to Fukushima, but oddly enough, she hasn't come.
I have this picture on Facebook of Mad Magazine made to look like Barack Obama, and one of the titles I made for it was "What Nuclear Meltdown? We have a country to bomb. Get your priorities straight."
Yeah. Hold on, Leo, if you want to. We're going to break. It's Republic Broadcasting Network. Your program in the zone. Speaking with James Corbett, The Corbett Report. Can be found at thecorbettreport.com. He's back on the show. And we will be right back after this commercial break.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
No, I don't need to throw out the call-in number unless you're going to call in next week and you want to get in early, 800-313-9443. With that said, we were talking to Leo before the break. Leo, do you have something else real quick? We just got a couple minutes. You still there?
Well, earlier, maybe you jumped onto it and give Corbett the late one.
I think they already have something slotted for that from what we were just told by the board op producer. So I've been trying to expand my program, get into 2 hours, back into it. It was 2 hours before for quite some time, and I actually advocated for James to get a slot on the network too, and I think he had been offered one, but he's so impacted his schedule, not only because of time differences and doing the interviews that he does on his, you know, I ask people, go to check out his website. I mean, go listen to some of his interviews. He's got, I don't know, what are you up to now, 300, 400?
I think we're at 322.
So it's, you know, there's a lot of really good
interviews. Plus 330-something videos, a couple hundred podcasts, a couple hundred articles.
And a couple of those are with me.
There you go. More than a couple. By the way, I didn't get a chance to finish plugging, I just wanted to say that I talked to Charles McJolton of Second Harvest Japan, which is kind of the first Japanese food bank kind of thing, where they donate food and resources and supplies to people. So I talked to him about what they're doing in northeastern Japan. I talked to the director of Peace Boat, Yoshioka Tatsua, which is an organization that does work all over the world, but they're obviously helping out in northeastern Japan right now. And I talked the other day to someone of cosmos.org.
Are those Jeff up Rook. On your website?
They're all up on my website. Go check them out. I'm not saying, you know, you should or shouldn't donate to any particular organization, but go and listen and check out their websites. And
well, what I was going to say, have you vetted them to some extent to where...
I'm not saying, you know, I'm not putting my seal of approval on anyone, but I'm just saying you
would you donate money
them
to them yourself?
I have donated to... donated to Cosmos, and I've donated to Peace Boat.
Okay, so I mean, to me, that's enough. But again, I ask people, and I think you would as well, is do your research, make sure that who you're giving money or aid. And I think that, you know, money is one of the most fungible donations out there that can be diverted into corrupt ends. Much easier than hard, you know, like a food drive or something, or at least just making sure that it gets into hands that are trustworthy.
That's exactly right. But yeah, but I'm not here to give some sort of seal of approval to anyone. You have to make that decision for yourself, because I can't do it for you.
So are you going to be with us next week, right, James?
I hope so, yeah.
Cool.
One little quickie, Mr. Corbett.
Yep.
Are you familiar with that supposedly Japan was going to kick the American bases out just before the disaster? And I noticed that a couple of years back during Operation Cast Lead, they offered $10 million to help rebuild Gaza. I think there's something more ulterior than just a regular tsunami going on here.
I certainly know back in 2009 the government changed from the ruling government for the last 50 plus years basically to a new government, and they came in saying they were going to kick the Americans out of Okinawa and all that, and that changed very quickly. They didn't get that agenda through, and the government started to fall apart, and now it's basically at low levels. So I don't know the extent to which it would have been necessary to create a tsunami in order to do that, to derail that. It's something that I'm willing to look into, but I haven't seen a lot of hard evidence for you.
I mean, suitcase nukes could have done it too, right?
There have been plans to use nukes to make tsunamis, so it can happen.
That's it. Leo, call in next week, beginning of the show. James, I will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe. Same with you, Leo, and all the other listeners. Peace.